Turn with me to the back of your Psalter hymnal, and there we turn to the Belgian Confession, Article 25. That's what we're looking at tonight. As we make our way through the Belgian Confession, for those who are visiting, the Belgian Confession is one of our standards that we subscribe to. It gives a good understanding of what the Scriptures teach, summarizes many of the important points of the Bible. And so tonight we look at Article 25, which deals with the fulfillment of the law, the place of the law in the believer's life. We'll look at that, and we'll look at our scripture reading for tonight, which is from Exodus chapter 22, verses 16 to 31. I'll just read Article 25, first of all, and you're invited to follow along. The fulfillment of the law. We believe that the ceremonies and symbols of the law have ended with the coming of Christ, and that all foreshadowings have come to an end, so that the use of them ought to be abolished among Christians. Yet the truth and substance of these things remain for us in Jesus Christ, in whom they have been fulfilled. Nevertheless, we continue to use the witness drawn from the law and the prophets to confirm us in the gospel and to regulate our lives with full integrity for the glory of God according to his will. That's Article 25. Turn with me to your pew Bible. Scripture reading for tonight is from Exodus chapter 22. Page 122 in your pew Bible. We'll read verses 16 to 31. This passage is kind of entitled Social Responsibility, if you have your NIV Bible. And so we read some of these laws from the Old Testament. Exodus 22, I'll read the passage and then the congregation responds together saying, "Thanks be to God." If a man seduces a virgin who was not pledged to be married and sleeps with her, he must pay the bride price and shall be his wife. If her father absolutely refuses to give her to him, he must still pay the bride price for virgins. Do not allow a sorceress to live. Anyone who has sexual relations with an animal must be put to death. Whoever sacrifices to any god other than the Lord must be destroyed. Do not mistreat an alien or oppress him, for you were aliens in Egypt. Do not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. If you do and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry. My anger will be aroused, and I will kill you with the sword. Your wives will become widows and your children fatherless. If you lend money to one of my people among you who is needy, do not be like a moneylender. Charge him no interest. If you take your neighbor's cloak as a pledge, return it to him by sunset, because his cloak is the only covering he has for his body. What else will he sleep in? When he cries out to me, I will hear, for I am compassionate. Do not blaspheme God or curse the ruler of your people. Do not hold back offerings from your granaries or your vats. You must give me the firstborn of your sons. Do the same with your cattle and your sheep. Let them stay with their mothers for 7 days, but give them to me on the eighth day. You are to be my holy people. So do not eat the meat of an animal torn by wild beasts. Throw it to the dogs." This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word tonight. Dear congregation, called to obedience in Jesus Christ, have you ever read through the entire book of Exodus? And I mean the whole book of Exodus. Not just the part about Moses and the bulrushes, and not just the part about the 10 plagues and Israel's exodus from Egypt, and not just the part about Israel gathering around Mount Sinai to receive the 10 commandments. What I want to know is, have you ever read through all the little Old Testament laws in chapters 20 to 31? Have you ever read through all of this? There's a lot of little laws in those chapters. We read a portion of these laws in our scripture reading for tonight. Exodus is not the only book that has such laws. Leviticus, it has a whole bunch of these little laws too. So does Numbers. So does Deuteronomy. And all of it is not easy reading. Have you ever made your way through all the laws of the Old Testament? The law of the Old Testament, that's what I hope to talk about tonight. Yes, what I hope to get at, especially tonight, is the purpose and the place and the relevance of these many Old Testament laws, what the relevance this law should have for our lives today. That's what I hope to talk about, especially tonight. Now, I guess the question I should ask first is, why are we dealing with this tonight? Why does the Belgic Confession go out of its way to talk about the Old Testament law all of a sudden? Why? Well, it's not for no reason. There is a logic to this, so hear me out on this first. In the last few Sundays, when we were looking at the Belgic Confession, we were talking about justification and sanctification, right? Remember? So let's quickly review those two terms again. Justification is God's declaration in his heavenly courtroom that we are forgiven and righteous by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is our lawyer. He died on the cross to pay for our sin, and now he pleads our cause before the Father. He says, "Your Honor, look at my client through me." And so that's what God, the judge, does. He looks at me through Christ. And so he gives his verdict. And he says, not guilty. You are holy and you are righteous. You are free to go. That's justification. Justification is God's declaration in his heavenly courtroom. Now the question is, does justification, does that change my heart? Does it change my insides? The answer is no. It changes my status before God, but it does not change my heart on the inside. That's where sanctification comes in. Sanctification is the process now that we undergo by which the Holy Spirit works in us to change us into what God has declared us to be in Christ. So note then, sanctification is a process. It begins with the new birth. In the new birth, we are born again by the Spirit of God. Notice though, in the new birth, we are only born again. What that means is, spiritually speaking, we are still very young in the faith. We are still babes. And so we have a lot to learn. We have a lot to grow in. Sanctification is the process we undergo by which the Holy Spirit works in us to change us into what God has declared us to be. Now, here's the thing though. What does the Holy Spirit use to guide us in this? What does the Holy Spirit use to mold us along the way in the sanctification process? What does he use? What he uses is the law of God. We need the law to structure sanctification. We need to structure our Christian walk. The law is what gives boundaries, it gives contour, it gives shape to our Christian life. It helps us along in our sanctification. That's why we look then at the law tonight. The law is what helps us in our sanctification process. And so there's no doubt that the law is very important. Actually, it's very important. That's why we read the Ten Commandments every so often, right? But now the thing is, though, we read the Ten Commandments, which are from the Old Testament, but what about all those other laws now? What about all those laws from Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy? Do we obey those laws too? If we don't, why not? What relevance do those laws have for our lives today now? And so to explain all this, I want to use the analogy of a house. Everyone lives in a house. We've always lived in houses, I guess. Why do we live in our houses? It's pretty obvious. We live in our houses to keep us warm and dry, to keep us out of the elements. We use our houses so we can have a place to eat, right, to prepare our food. The house is where we sleep. The house is where we have our families and our fellowship. The house is where we do our laundry and such. Houses have changed a lot, right? 100 years ago or so, our houses were quite different from the houses we have today. Houses 100 years ago, to our minds, were probably quite primitive, right? We used to have a fireplace and a wood stove to cook our food. We had a lantern to light up the night. And we would go to the well, to the pump, to get our water. We used to have hot water bottles in our beds to keep us warm in the winter. Our houses back then were not even insulated. And so our homes were cold in the winter and very hot in the summer. Our homes back then were not very good. But they were our homes. Thank God for our homes. But things are definitely different today. Now in our homes, we cook on an electric stove or a gas stove. If we need some light, we just turn on the switch. If we need some water, we turn on the hot water tap or the cold water tap. We have water beds, if we want to keep ourselves warm. Our homes are well insulated now, so we are not so cold in the winter, and we're not so hot in the summer. Our houses are much better today. As you can see, our houses today are the same and yet different from 100 years ago. Today, as back then, what we lived in are our houses. It's just that today our houses now are much better. I'm saying we need to see the Old Testament and the New Testament in somewhat the same way. In the Old Testament, God made a covenant with us. That covenant was like living in an old house. We had a place to live, a place to dwell with God. We had His law to help us live in that house so that we might mature and be sanctified in the Old Testament age. We had lots of laws in that old house. We had the Ten Commandments for sure. That was the summary of God's moral law. But we had a lot of those other little laws too. We had the laws of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy. What those laws did was help apply the Ten Commandments for our lives back then when we lived in the old house. The smaller laws came kind of like in two parts, two sets. There was a ceremonial law, which governed the sacrifices and the temple worship of that time. And we had the civil law, which governed how we related to one another in society. It goes without saying that that law system of that old house didn't work very good. It didn't work very good. The problem, it just didn't help people to grow spiritually in the Old Testament. In short, few people actually got sanctified in the Old Testament age. It didn't make people into true servants of God. As a house, it just wasn't very good. It wasn't effective. That's why in the New Testament, God gives us a new covenant. What's that like? It's like God coming into the old house and totally updating it. He modernizes it. That's what God does for us in the New Testament age. He updates, He expands, He fulfills, He renews His covenant for our lives in the new house today. He makes it modern. So what does God do in the new covenant, in our new house today? He gives us Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid for our sin. He conquered sin and evil through His death and through His resurrection. More, He poured out the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now is the one who applies those Ten Commandments to our lives today. So you can appreciate the similarities and yet the differences between the old covenant and the new, between the old house and the new. The similarities? Well, in both covenants, God is at the center. Both really are a covenant. In both, God saves by grace through faith. In both, the Ten Commandments are given to us as guides. But there are major differences as well. In the New Covenant, all those smaller Old Testament laws are gone. They've been replaced. Or better yet, they have been fulfilled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, He applies the Ten Commandments to our lives. Now, the Holy Spirit, He's much, much better than all those Old Testament civil and ceremonial laws combined. And so we don't abide by those little laws anymore. Sure, if we were to abide by those little laws now, it would be like trying to use the wood stove or the lantern or going to the well for water. We don't need that anymore. We don't do that anymore. We live in different houses now. We still live in a house. It's just that the house is much better now. So that's a way to understand the law of God for our lives today. We still abide by the Ten Commandments, for sure. Sure, they are the moral principles of conduct which are grounded right in the creation order of God. Those commandments, the Ten Commandments, we need them. They're good for us. They are the boundaries for a sanctified Christian life. They are good to govern our lives. But the little laws, well, they're from the old house. They're from the old covenant. They're from the old manual for the old house. Now, does that mean we can't even look to those Old Testament laws anymore? Are we to say that this is not scripture anymore? Are we to say that this is no longer the Word of God? Why is it still in our Bibles if we're not bound by those laws anymore? What role do those little laws have in our lives today? Well, it goes like this. Of course, those laws, well, they are the Word of God. It's just that now they are applied differently. And we look to them differently now. This is how it goes. Sometimes, to understand the new covenant better, sometimes it's good to look at, sometimes to better understand the new covenant, sometimes to better understand how and even why we live in the new covenant, we need to look to the old. It's like with the house. In the new house, sometimes to truly understand the automatic washing machine, sometimes you need to talk to old mom and dad and the old grandpa and grandma about the old washing machine that they used to have. How did the old wringer washer work for you, mom and dad? Sometimes to understand the modern day microwave today, we need to talk to the older folks about the old wood stove back then. Sometimes that old information is enlightening in how to use the new things in our house today. That's how it goes with the Bible. Yes, in the New Testament age, we are called to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. That's what we need to do. We're called to do that by the Holy Spirit. But saying that doesn't answer everything. Like, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor in the New Testament age? It's hard to tell sometimes. Sometimes it's helpful to look to even the Old Testament. We look to the old manual to see who the neighbor was back then. Who was my neighbor in the Old Testament? Well, I think of Exodus chapter 22, verse 22. There, the Lord says, "Do not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. If you do and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry." Who's my neighbor back then? It's the widow and the orphan. Who is it? It's the underdog. It's the hurting person. That's my neighbor. The person who has no power or influence or standing. That's the way it was in the Old Testament. And you know, that's helpful to know this in the New Testament. Maybe we can ask ourselves, who's the hurting person? Who's the underdog in your life? Is that person your neighbor? Or I think of Exodus chapter 22, verse 25. If you lend money to one of my people among you who is needy, do not be like a moneylender. Charge him no interest. Now, it's true that this commandment doesn't technically apply anymore. We're not legally bound to this anymore. I mean, today we charge interest. We all charge interest. We all have our loans with interest, right? But, you know, just a minute now. Does that mean we can charge interest to whoever we want and whenever we want? Again, who is my neighbor? How do we use our money to obey today to help those who are in need today? That question still applies. The principle still applies. We need to take care of the underdog, the person who is vulnerable, the person who is hurting in our church and in society. You catch my point? Sometimes to better understand our calling today, it's wise and it's good to look at God's calling to his people back then. In that sense, all those Old Testament laws are still practical and in some ways still relevant for our lives today. Fact is, we are called to undergo the process of sanctification. God wants to make us holy. God wants to make us obedient. God saves by grace through faith. He justifies by grace through faith. He sanctifies by grace through faith. Today, the Holy Spirit works in our hearts to apply his law, his word, to our lives. And so we have everything now at our disposal so that we can make some kind of headway with this. We have Jesus Christ. We have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We have the church. We have the sacraments. We have that too tonight. We have the New Testament scriptures, the new manual. And we have the Old Testament scriptures too, the old manual. We have it all. May we go forward. May we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. May we dig into his law. May we look into his word. And may we find his blessing so that we may grow mature in him. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your law. We thank you for the Ten Commandments. We pray that you apply them to our lives by the power of your Holy Spirit. May the Spirit make our hearts soft so that we may walk in your way. We thank you, Father, for the old manual, that we may even look to those old commandments to help us understand the new in a better way so that we may love our neighbor, especially those who are vulnerable, to those who are weak. May we show love to our neighbor. May we love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Father, use even the Lord's Supper tonight to encourage us in this. May we walk in your way. May we be truly sanctified for your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.